Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, or as you just saw on the video there, the Darren DuPont Show today.
Hey!
I don't know if we got one for you, dude, for Friday.
But I wouldn't work too hard. Okay. I wouldn't put too much effort into that.
Well, welcome in. No Rod Peterson today. Again, he is in Texas, enjoying the sunshine, kissing longhorns.
And that was awkward.
It was, eh?
That was a little awkward for me, seeing him posing with some beef like that.
Yeah, he's all about it. Did you see him hanging out with Snoop Dogg and LeBron?
I saw him at the Spurs Lakers game. Yeah, at the I'm a Lakers fan. 6-1, the Lakers.
Lakers and Spurs?
Yeah.
Are they back?
Yeah, they're back.
You're pretty happy?
Yeah, they're back. Well, who else is in the West? I mean, Golden State, they just can't keep anybody on the floor.
I know.
And there's your basketball update
For the year.
Dear Hunter brothers.
Yeah, that's it. So there's Derek Myers in studio today. Big show for episode 110, famous number 10s, and there's going to be a lot of them today. And if you miss these, one of our P1s, Brady, who's in on the Prairie Mobile text line often too, and we know Brady is in school, he always sends in his numbers, and we read them on the air.
But
it's funny, was it last week or the week before, we said, you know, just send him in and we'll put him in the pre-show. So he starts doing the homework. He's emailed them in ahead of time. And if you watch the pre-show, if you're in here right when we go live, right at 10 o'clock, Brady's 10s, all the greatest jersey numbers that he has are in there. And so we won't get to all of them because there's a lot. But I go right away, Guy Lafleur, Ron Francis.
Ron Francis, wow.
Marcel Dion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Braden Shen, if you want to get local. Saskatoon, Corey Perry. And then football, I mean, Solomon Alamimian, Jimmy Garoppolo and the undefeated 49ers.
Jimmy. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So those are all number 10.
And we're talking soccer is a massive one. Lionel Messi, Diego Maradona. I mean, especially like the Argentinian contingent of number 10s.
Yeah.
Like, that is a legendary number.
Ty's saying, where's my phone? Somebody's got to find my phone. In the mess of this morning, I got the Prairie Mobile text line, but I don't have my phone. It's somewhere in the building. I bet you the ringer's on. So if you want to call it, find my phone. I'm going into slight anxiety here without my phone this morning. Good morning, JR is watching from Cranbrook. Crystal says, the graphic kills me. Yeah, it's pretty good. We're trying to decide if we got to take the beard off it, though, now that I shaved. Good morning, Wayne, who's watching from beautiful Victoria, BC. Dave Spatafora is watching in Regina. So good morning, guys. Welcome to the program. It's going to be a busy program here.
And by the way, I know I'm a week late on this, but it happened after I was here. Your Kelly Rample costume and impersonation was so awesome.
You liked it?
So awesome.
Yeah. You know what? It's so funny. We did that on Thursday. So I had the Kelly Rample outfit on. And if you missed it, it's on my Instagram feed.
So great.
At Darren DuPont. You can check it out on Instagram. And if you want to follow the show, it's at The Rod Peterson Show. He was supposed to be in studio on the Thursday on Halloween.
Right. Yeah,
I thought I'd be sitting right next to him. And turns out I didn't even know. And all of a sudden on Wednesday, he's here. And I'm like, well, Clark, why is he here Wednesday? Well, he had something come up. He couldn't be here Thursday. So he switched. And so I was disappointed, but I had still had everything planned out. And the sweater he was wearing that day, I'm like, I've got the same sweater at home. I have to wear it.
That's great.
So, and then I put it out there and I tagged him in it on Twitter because he's not on Facebook or Instagram. And he never replied. And a small part of me thought I offended him.
Yeah, some people don't like impersonations. You know, like Frank Caliendo is the professional impersonator guy. He does a lot of sports guys. And he said it's always kind of awkward when you're somewhere and you're doing the impression of somebody and they're right there. You're not sure how they're going to take it. And he talked about Terry Bradshaw or different guys, you know, when he was at, when he worked at Fox.
Yeah.
And then when he went over to ESPN, of course, he does a Stephen A. And he said you're never sure how they're going to take it. Some people are honored by it because they see it as, you know, it's kind of flattery. Other people don't necessarily, you know, Donald Trump doesn't think it's funny what they do on Saturday Night Live.
Exactly. So. You know, I don't sound like that. Do I really sound like that? And they think you're doing it seriously. And Frank Caliendo does the great John Gruden impression. And if you watched Hard Knocks, he was actually in the meeting rooms up on stage delivering the address as John Gruden, in front of John Gruden.
He also, I saw one the other day that he did, it was from a few years ago, but he walked into the Arizona Cardinals and the team, and he put the hat on like Bruce Arians, when Bruce Arians was the coach there. And he drops one line and the whole room exploded, you know, because they were like, that's exactly coach, you know. So, yeah, some people take it well. Gruden's a guy that got a kick out of it, but not everybody thinks it's fantastic. But Rempel eventually paid homage, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. pretty great. So he was in meetings. He thought it was fantastic. So that made me feel really, really good. Back to the Facebook feed for a second. Good morning, Paul, who's watching in Winnipeg. Hope Rob Nash is going well and you're enjoying yourself. We're missing you. The chair has been vacant all week.
Did you have to wash your face, though? Do you feel like you have to wash your face, Paul? Because you're in Winnipeg.
You're going to have to stick around. We're going to have Les Lazarick on the program. He's a Winnipeg guy, now the voice of the Saskatoon Blades forever.
Yeah.
10:45, we'll have him on, Paul. So if you've got an opportunity to watch, there was a great tweet. It was actually part of ESPN's NHL player poll. They said Winnipeg is the worst place to go to, and they had some not-so-nice things to say. We'll get to that in a little bit, too. Brady, did you sneak out of class? He's into the comments feed, and we'll get to your comment on the Riders and their first-place finish. I'll get to that, and I'll get to your thoughts on the Prairie Mobile text line, too. Trent, calling from Norway, says Norway's calling. Says he'll miss Greg Jockums coaching the Saskatchewan Rattlers, hometown guy who does well nationally and does it from home, needs to be saluted. Yes, he does. And we hooked up with Trent at the Rattlers game, so he knows Greg Jockums very, very well, and wishing him the best as he resigned from the Rattlers, stepping down yesterday. That news breaking while we were on the air. And so Trent's found us at our new time, which is 10 a.m. Central Time.
What? It's the same time here. I don't understand.
We don't change our clocks. I'll say this again. I say this every day for the week here. We don't change our clocks. We just change our time zone. That's all we do. So we were 10 a.m.
No, we stay the same.
No, our clocks stay the same.
And we are Central Standard Time all the time. We don't go to Central Daylight Time.
Okay, but we were on Mountain Time for the first half of the year, and now we're on Central Time.
No, we're on Mountain. See, that's where people get a little bit confused. We were on Mountain.
I just had this figured out, I thought.
We're on Mountain Daylight Savings Time, which is technically, at that time of the year, Central Standard Time. We stay on Standard Time. Other people switch from Standard to Daylight and Daylight to Standard. We stay on Central Standard year long. We just correspond with Central or Mountain. Daylight savings.
Okay.
We just don't call
now
it Central.
Now I'm confused
Standard.
Again. I thought I had this figured out.
Because we're the only ones who stay on it. It's not in the vernacular. Everybody
right,
else
we don't
uses
move.
It.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well,
that's
here I thought I had this cute little thing
so
figured out.
So everybody just said, and once again, because then this is our inferiority complex sometimes, we're Alberta's kid brother. So when we're on the same time as Alberta, we say we're on Mountain. And when we are not on the same time as Alberta, we say we're on Standard.
But when someone's...
When in fact, we don't switch.
Right.
They're the ones who switch.
Right, but when someone's searching for what time the show's on, they should be searching Mountain Time or Central Time, right?
Yes, because the rest of the world
bring
uses
it full,
that.
Okay,
even
good.
Though we
but we're trying to communicate with the rest of the world.
Central Standard.
So the short
365.
The long and short of it is it's 5 p.m. when we're on the air now in Norway.
That was the
okay.
That was the science geek in me right there.
I appreciate that. We have to get this right. So
see, we're always UTC minus 6. We never change. Universal Transmercator, whatever it is called.
UTC. We're always UTC 6. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm confused. Let's not go down that road anymore. Good morning, Scott in Saskatoon. The folks at Great West are watching again. And Doyle as well. Good morning to you and the folks at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. No, Rod's a huge fan of Wendell Clark's. And we actually sent Tyler down there on a little scouting tour of Saskatoon yesterday.
The corner of Idlewild and Circle.
Yeah. Great spot. Perfect on the way to the game. Too and go to the Blades games.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
It's a great place to stop.
Especially if you're coming up from Regina, you take Circle Drive around.
Oh, yeah.
You're right there.
You're right there. Blades games,
turn
rush
left
games.
Instead of right.
And it's easy to get out, and right away you go. So there you go. Mike Lee is watching. Good morning from Maui. Everybody's on holidays.
You know what? I'd like to say hi, Mike, and thanks for tuning in. But, dude, it's like minus 30 here. here today. I'm so jealous of Mike.
Yeah, my car said minus 16. Some people said minus 19.
Yeah, wind chill.
This morning with the wind chill in Saskatchewan, not warm.
We're not golfing today. Mike's my golfing buddy.
But that's where it's gone. So Rod's in Texas. It's warm there.
Yeah.
Mike's in Maui. It's warm there.
I'm going to Vegas in a month. I got that.
You're going to Vegas. Marshall Hamilton's in Florida or Arizona or California. Randy's watching from Mesa, Arizona, and we're here in Saskatchewan. So John Lynch and I had to do in the huddle last night, and we had a good time. I let John just, you know, go off on the Riders' first place finish.
He was pretty excited.
He's pretty excited about the first place finish.
Hey, you know what? Rightfully so. I mean, we should get into it, I guess, at some point. Is this the most understated first place team? And there hasn't been that many of them. We've chronicled it here in the past. A West Division finishing first place team in a long time. I mean, when they started the season, you didn't know really what to expect. You had to deal with an injury, and then you have a new coach and all this. I mean, it does. It feels like it's the most understated first place team ever.
It does.
But yeah.
I said I wouldn't ring the bell, but this is too big not to ring the bell. Three Down Nation, just pulling it up right now, and just got the notification. Devon Claybrooks out as head coach in BC.
Come on!
Devon Claybrooks is out. Is the head coach of the BC Lions. So that's huge. That's huge this morning.
That's confusing to me.
Yeah, it's massive, massive, massive. So we're going to get into this. I really thought Devon had earned himself another year. I think this is crazy. Ed Hervey's feeling some heat. He's feeling some heat. They had a tough year.
I don't think he's much of a GM.
And for Devon Claybrook, you know, BC went 5-13, last in the West Division. But after their tough start, they had turned things around towards the end of the season.
And then your quarterback gets hurt.
Your quarterback got hurt right at the end, and you had a chance to potentially get into the playoffs.
Yeah, but I mean,
That was a long shot. But he had turned this team around. Now, remember, that's a whole young staff. So I thought maybe they had earned themselves half, three-quarters of a year to get things going. And I know there was high expectations on this team. We had all predicted BC to be a playoff team. We predicted them to potentially be a top two team.
I don't know.
With Mike Riley being the quarterback. We all predicted it.
You know what?
We all had Edmonton in the toilet.
I lay this at the feet of... I don't know when we got to take a break here, but holy cow. This is... I could take a thought about this, but this is pretty knee-jerk. You hire this guy away. He is probably the premier against Chris Jones last year. Top defensive guys in the league when he was a coordinator there in Calgary. So you hire him away. You give him. But are you really giving a guy a chance when you have no offensive line? You got like one receiver. To be fair, I mean, yeah, you brought in Daron Carter. Well, where the hell was he all year?
Well, and all the signs for pointed. To
personnel
it all pointed to Devon being brought back because everything was trending in the right way. So this team had said it would fall off the cliff, right? It was a tough year. The offensive line was terrible, but you made changes. So you switched up the offensive line coach. All of a sudden the offensive line started to play
improve.
Better.
Absolutely.
You know, you started to grow. You learned, you know, this coaching staff got their feet underneath them, and then you started to see the wins come towards the end of the year. So I thought the end of the year was a real positive sign to show where these guys have grown. And that they were set up to take a big step forward next year. And now you're going to start from scratch again.
Be interesting. Is that team not for sale? Is David Braley not selling that team? I mean, holy cow. If I'm a new owner and I'm coming in looking at this, I'm looking around to see who's out there for general managers and just start fresh. Because if I'm buying this team and I'm going to try and sell this and grow this in that market and recapture some of what was the BC Lions a number of years ago, Ed Hervey, I think I would be living out of boxes right now and getting ready to get the hell out of town because this is, in my opinion, without knowing anything else, and there might be more to this, and it might kind of filter out here, but on its face, as you just rang the bell and dropped this seems awfully knee-jerk of Ed Hervey.
Yeah, this is the rollout for Flooring Superstore. JR mentions the fans didn't like Claybrooks. I don't know if that's true in BC or not. I'm not in that market, but that could be. You need to sell the product to the fans. Pat, our friend PJ, Claybrooks got the short end of the stick on that one. I thought for sure he would have earned another year. Craig Monroe, Calgary just got better. He thinks Devon Claybrooks will be back as their defensive coordinator.
Possibly.
Possibly. And Robin Wilde in PA, if Campbell stays in Ottawa, does he get Claybrooks? Does Claybrooks get fired so quick if Rick Campbell would have stayed in Ottawa? Because I think that's something to be considered too.
Is he not going to Edmonton?
Well, I've got a whole lot to be, you know, to break down in the situation.
Holy crap, we haven't even played a playoff game yet, and already the moves and all the things are moving around here when it comes to the coaching spinning wheel circle.
Everybody signed and sealed the contract for Rick Campbell in Edmonton already. It makes sense. Brock Sunderland is there. Trevor Harris is there. Greg Ellingson is there.
Did he not work with Ed Hervey in Edmonton as well, though?
Who? Rick Campbell?
Yeah.
Possibly, but listen to this. And other people thought, okay, it just sets up for the switch. Rick Campbell's going to go to Edmonton. Jason Moss is going to get let go, and he's going to end up back in Ottawa where he had so much success as an offensive coordinator.
Moss
right?
with Hervey.
But that's it. And that was brought up by Dave Naylor. Don't be so quick to just seal Edmonton. First of all, Rick Campbell's an upgrade on a lot of coaches in the CFL. And so there might be more opportunity. And for Jason Moss, that bridge might have been burned in Ottawa the way he left as an offensive coordinator, leaving to take a job in Edmonton. And Ed Hervey's the guy in Edmonton who brought Jason Moss in. So you're right. That could be an opening for Jason Moss to end up with Mike Riley in BC.
Yeah. Rick Campbell has a history with Lions GM Ed Hervey and President Rick LaLisher from their days in Edmonton. That from Matt Sakaris out there in BC. So, yeah, they do have a bit of a history there, Rick Campbell.
Maya and commenting in on the Facebook wall about the suave hair. Did you see that one?
Yes.
She said, you have suave hair, Darren, but you should grow a beard. First time viewer, she quotes in.
Oh, she...
First time, long time, right?
Just missed out.
So just missed out. I just had it. Shaved it for the Halloween costume, and now I can't commit to going through the couple of days of awkward growth.
Oh, yeah.
So, and typically all winter long I don't have one. I grow it for like 2.5 months in the summer, and that's it. But... yeah, we'll see about that. But breaking news this morning here in the warm-up, as we got to get a break in. We'll do this right now, and then we'll go to Montreal. So breaking news this morning, Devon Claybrooks no longer the head coach in BC. Completely changed the direction I wanted to go today. I thought we would get some hockey in. We will. But first, we're going to go out to Montreal after the break. Joey Alfieri from TSN Radio in Montreal will be alongside. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about the Owls and their semifinal game against Edmonton. Also today on the program, Les Lazarek, voice of the Saskatoon Blades. Former Eskimos, Stampeders, and Riders lineman Randy Chevrier will be alongside in hour two. And in the bunker, Rider great Chris Best will be in the bunker in studio. So looking forward to that.
Former Duke Blue Devil.
Hey, there you go. Former Duke Blue Devil. So much going on this morning in episode 110. We'll take a break, gather our thoughts, and be back with more. Thanks for watching the rollout for Flooring Superstore. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. Still can't find my phone. Spent the break running around. Got fresh coffee, though, from Caliber Coffee. Love that place in Regina in the Warehouse District. Always go in there and get my info. Prairie Mobile text line is open, so I'd love to get your thoughts here on the Devon Claybrooks firing and everything else going on, or anything you want us to talk about on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. We got more number 10s rolling in, Pele, Zinedine Zidane with the famous head butter.
he did a few other things.
There's a few others there. Who else do we got in the Prairie Mobile text line? Kelly Bruce is watching in Regina. So says, can't listen in the morning, but just in case, texting in because really interested in the Manny Show t-shirts that we're giving away every day on the show. I said, we'll catch the podcast later for sure. So hopefully you're catching this in the podcast. How are we doing that today, Clark? How did we decide to give away those shirts? Twitter contest. So head to our Twitter feed and retweet. Go.
Number 10, Dan Farthing.
Oh, how did we miss Dan Farthing?
That should have been the most obvious number 10 for us here in Regina.
Oh.
And especially in Saskatoon as well.
Yes.
The great Sask Husky. And just all around fabulous guy. Big shout out to Dan. He's a beauty.
Yeah. So Dan Farthing, yeah, how do I forget that? One of the guys I grew up watching.
Oh, Dangerous Dan.
Yeah.
He was good.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Sports update in the NHL last night. The New York Islanders, a 10-game winning streak.
What the hell?
They beat Ottawa 4-1. First time since the early 80s they've had a double-digit win streak.
Who's coaching there?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I know, right?
Like, what a difference.
Barry Trotz, that makes a difference.
It's unreal.
Montreal, Victor Mete had a pair of goals as Montreal came back to beat Boston 5-4. You can sign my stamp of approval on that. Is the Leafs guy... The Bruins, I hate the Bruins more than anybody else.
And they're good this year.
Yes.
I mean, they've been really good.
So good. Auston Matthews had the game-winning goal and an assist. Now second all-time in the Leafs through the first 10 games in goals behind just ahead of Wendell Clark as the Leafs beat LA
3-1. I got something I want to get to after this break.
Okay. Taylor Hall has extended his point streak now to 5 games after ripping on the fans for booing them, the Devils, over Winnipeg, 2-1 in a shootout. Matthew Tkachuk, another overtime winner. That guy is amazing. What he's doing in Calgary is they edged Arizona and the Coyotes, the hot Coyotes.
Well, and Goudreau finally got a goal too.
4-3. Goudreau's there too. The Vancouver Canucks 9-3-3, but they fell in overtime to Jaden Schwartz and the St. Louis Blues
on a 3-0.
Did you see that 3-0? And
it was terrible.
I mean, it hung the goaltender out to dry. Jaden Schwartz with the overtime winner for the 10-3-3 Blues. They're rolling.
It was so funny. They looked like they didn't know what to do because how often, even in practice, you don't get 3-0s. They're all kind of looking at each other.
I know. And San Jose's off the mat too. They snapped a 5-game skid. Man, they put 55 shots against Winnipeg on the weekend. They beat Chicago 4-2, but they are having a slow start to the season. So your NHL scoreboard here for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, as we're ready to go out to Montreal on the video chat to Joey Alfieri from TSN Radio in Montreal. Joey, we want to talk Al's here, but we have to talk to Devon Claybrooks. What the heck? Yeah. I really, really thought, I mean, we can't be surprised with the expectations the team had and the season they ended up having, but the way they finished the year and the young staff and everything else, I really thought that he had earned himself a little bit of patience, at least the first year. But the big news is Devon Claybrooks is out in BC this morning.
Yeah, I thought so too. I guess it just kind of, it maybe depends on who became available. Maybe that changed things, right? Rick Campbell's out there. Kahari Jones's contract is coming to an end. Who knows if he's going to be able to re-up with the Alouettes here in Montreal. So, I mean, maybe Corey Chamberlain is out as well at a certain point. So, I don't know. I mean, like, how many openings is there going to be this winter? And does that make, you know, did if you're a general manager and you're 50-50 on a guy, does the fact that some of these names are out there, Mike O'Shea maybe out there as well out in Winnipeg, so the fact that these guys are all available, does that push you over the edge and you say, you know what, I'm going to take a leap with a different head coach. I think that's probably what you're seeing right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, since you brought it up, what is the latest, or do you have any update for us on Kahari and the contract situation? Because we learned that, you know, maybe the negotiation process had started, but we didn't expect anything imminent. Has there been any headway in getting Kahari re-upped?
So, yeah, I mean, the latest out of Montreal, what we found out yesterday from Herb Zerkowski of the Gazette here is just that President Patrick Boivin is... has the right to start negotiating, and they have started negotiating a contract. It's just, this is not going to be an easy negotiation for the Alouettes. Like, you check my mentions on Twitter, and I have so many people that have fallen back in love with this team that are writing to me saying, hey, if they let this guy walk out the door and he goes somewhere else, like, you can kiss my season tickets goodbye. So this, the Alouettes are kind of in a no-win situation, because I think they're going to either have to pay through the teeth, or if they don't want to, they're going to risk losing and upsetting a whole bunch of fans that they've, you know, the reality is they've had to put in a lot of effort, and it's taken a lot of time for them to get these guys back. So look, I'm somewhat confident that they're going to be able to get it done. Even, you know, from Kahari Jones's perspective, like, he's had to wait a while to get an opportunity to become a head coach, and it came in less than an ideal scenario 6 days before the season, but he's made it work. And we see in the CFL all the time, whether it be coaches, whether it be, you know, free agent players, is you go to another team and there's no guarantee that it's going to work out. So look, I think they'd be wise on both ends to make sure that this deal gets done, because I know there might be a temptation from Kahari Jones to go to Winnipeg or explore BC, because that's where his family lives. But you have success here. The players love you here. You know the market now. You've been here for 2 years. You might just be better off re-upping.
Well, I was in Montreal in August, as I try and do every second year now, for the Rogers Cup. Tennis guy, love that. And that's when the Riders were in town. And you could feel the buzz starting to build around the Alouettes at that point, really. But where is it now, the love with this team? And now as you get set to host an Eastern semifinal, where is the community bought into the Alouettes?
So you saw three quarters of a football game?
Yeah. I know. Still a sore subject. I didn't mean to bring it up.
No, it's all good. It's not sore at all. I think they're, it's become, you know, quote unquote cool to support the Alouettes again. Whereas, you know, just a few months ago, a year ago, it was cool to dump on the Alouettes. And I think they've got some interesting characters that they've brought in that have some personality. I mean, starting with Vernon Adams Jr., you know, you see him on social media, you see him at the stadium. He's been doing a lot of promotional work for the team out in the city, out in the community. And there's a lot of players like that. Devere Posey, Enoch Mwamba. There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of really likable players on this team. And I think the winning has kind of allowed a lot of fans to gravitate toward the team again. And it's really fun to see. Look, they haven't sold out a game this year. We still see the tarps covering certain sections at Percival Molson Stadium. But I think the fans that have shown up, there are more of them for sure. And the ones that have shown up have really, you can tell, like, they're into it and they're having a lot of fun at the games. You've seen them flash, you know, their the lights on the cell phones, you know, in unison during certain night games. So I think people in Montreal have really embraced this team. I know there's a couple thousand tickets left for Sunday's game against Edmonton. And I think that the fans and the team should feel really good going into that game.
How important is it for the league and the Alouettes themselves, I guess, or how they're structuring that, to get this ownership situation done and done the right way as quickly as possible after the season, so that they can kind of capitalize on this resurgence and you know, build towards going into 2020 with that?
Yeah, you know, I think they'd been talking about getting this done. There was talk it would get done before training camp, after training camp in July, and then it was August, then it was October. It was supposed to be done before Labor Day. I mean, it's just gone on and on. And I think at this point, I've been saying this for the last couple months. It's just, I'd rather, we've gone all this way without an owner in Montreal. Why is it that you need one all of a sudden now that the playoffs are about to start? Like, they don't need this distraction. They don't need these things to be written about them or said about them heading into such a crucial time of the year. So, I mean, listen, We've gone this far in the process. So I think the Alouettes might as well just wait until this thing's over. But, I mean, it looks like there have been rumblings about the Lankov brothers, who are from Montreal, who are now living out in L.A. They're partnering up with some local business owners here, and they apparently have something done. It was supposed to be, you know, apparently it was reported that it was going to get done a couple weeks ago. It hasn't been done to this point. But having that strong financial backing is going to be important. And listen, the Wettenhalls did a remarkable job the time they were here. They lost a lot of money. They just, you know, the funds for the Alouettes were limited. I think they need an ownership group that is willing to pour in some money into a practice facility. I mean, listen, the Olympic Stadium is done its time in Montreal. I mean, you really get the sense the Alouettes coaches and the players are in a dungeon in there, you know, in the basement of that thing. But I think it's time that, you know, somebody came in and spent some money on the Alouettes. There's been talk about Stephen Bronfman being the, you know, one of the minority investors in the group. He's the head of, you know, the group trying to bring the Montreal Expos back. So there's been talk of, you know, a new downtown baseball stadium here in Montreal that the Alouettes could potentially use for their home games. I think that would be cool too. But I think just getting, you know, a facility for your football ops, a facility where your players can practice and call home and have, you know, state-of-the-art gym and all that stuff. I think that's important. That's stuff that they have to get done. And it's a good point. I mean, it's really important. You mentioned just, you know, the importance of getting this done and being secure heading into 2020. And I just think that, you know, all the success they've had since 1996, since coming back, has been against all odds. And they've had these financial hurdles to get that stability there, and ownership would be huge.
Yeah, and I mean, that group, if it's tied with the Expos, I mean, we see that in Toronto, we see it in Calgary, it's in Winnipeg, where, yeah, you know, the ownership group handles multiple pro teams. But you got a big game this weekend, Joey, with the Owls and the Eskimos coming to town for the Eastern semifinal. What can you tell us about that game? I know Kari rested Vernon Adams a little bit to end the regular season, but he looked pretty good. This group seems like they're pretty sharp and ready to go. Are the Owls ready for the Eskimos on the weekend?
Yeah, I think they'll be ready. I think they'll be chomping at the bit. The last three games of the season were essentially meaningless in terms of, you know, where they're going to finish in the standings. But they used those games to stay sharp. And I think they've looked good. I mean, they beat Toronto and Ottawa down the stretch, lost to Hamilton. But Vernon Adams Jr. played less than a half, whereas Dane Evans played pretty much the entire game. So I think this is a group that's going to be focused. And it's a matchup, the chess match, between Jason Moss and Bob Slowick, the defensive coordinator for the Owls. That's what I'm fascinated to see, because in week one, Slowick is new to the league. The Owls go into Edmonton. They keep it close, but Edmonton puts up 600 yards of net offense on them. And then when they come back to Montreal in July, I mean, the Edmonton offense held to 10 points. Trevor Harris had no touchdown passes, was picked off twice. And, you know, we saw the Alouettes offense roll with that trick play, that receiving touchdown from Eugene Lewis to Vernon Adams Jr. So I'm curious to see, you know, what version of that chess match we're going to get. We've seen Bob Slowick the last few weeks try to ramp up the pressure he's putting on opposing quarterbacks. But as you guys know, Trevor Harris gets rid of the ball so quickly that the key is going to be to disrupt the timing of the receivers and of that offense. And I'm curious to see if the Alouettes can do it. I have no reason to believe that they can't. There's a, you know, a lot of players going into their first playoff game, and most notably Vernon Adams Jr. But I think doubting Vernon Adams Jr. going into this game is unfair, just because of everything he's proved. And for the most part, I mean, from what the Alouettes have shown with Vernon Adams Jr., when he plays, for the most part, they win. And when he doesn't play, they don't win. So it's a huge matchup for the city. Build that momentum. And I got to be honest with you, it's not because I'm from Montreal or anything like that, but just Edmonton, Hamilton would be yawn in an East final. And I was on the sideline for a quote-unquote meaningless game a couple weeks ago, Montreal and Hamilton. And those two teams do not like each other. That would be a whole lot of fun.
It would be lots of fun.
Yes,
you got Vernon Adams, who basically fell off the end of the depth chart in Hamilton and ended up in Montreal. If he could take that team into Hamilton with a chance to go to the Grey Cup, that'd be pretty cool. I want to get your thoughts quickly on the Habs. They had a big win last night. Victor Mete had a couple of goals in that one. And for Montreal, you know, they're playing okay. Where are the Habs at right now to start the season for our Habs viewers?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a positive start to the year as of right now. I mean, they're in a wild card spot, but they've had some signature wins. They've been the defending Stanley Cup champions, St. Louis. They beat them twice. They've beat Toronto twice. They've, you know, they played, you know, this week or last week, sorry, they were in the West Coast and they played Arizona and won on Wednesday night. They came back Thursday to play a back-to-back situation in Vegas against a really good Golden Knights team, and they won that game too. And then you saw them put an end to Boston's six-game winning streak last night. I think the Canadians are exactly who we thought they were. They don't have any superstar forwards, but they're getting the job done with an underrated top line in Phil Deneau, Brendan Gallagher, and Thomas Tatar. More contributions than a lot of people expected from Jonathan Drouin, and they're getting you with speed. That's what the Canadians are. Canadians are a transition team, and when they're going, it's because they've got their legs and they're able to go the other way in a hurry. So I think this is exactly where many of us anticipated the Canadians would be. They'd be scratching and clawing for points. But for the most part, I think it's been a fairly positive year, and I think people around here, around the city, feel that as well.
John Schmidt says, hi, Joey. He's a big Habs fan who watches our program all the time. So he says hi. And he also wants to mention on show 110, as we do, we recognize jersey numbers. Number 10, Guy Lafleur, of course, a great all-time NHLer with the Habs. So yeah. Want to get that in. And tell us about the podcast, True North Podcast. Where can we find it? Because I know you're doing great work there.
Yeah, man, appreciate the mention. Speaking of number 10s, Enoch Mwamba of the Montreal Alouettes was a guest on the podcast this week.
And that's
the
good.
Podcast just launched. Yeah, you can find it. I just tweeted out the link. It's via 3 Down Nation. You can also find us on Google Play and Spotify right now. We're working things out with Apple Podcasts. Should be on there shortly. Nice. But we've got Enoch Mwamba teeing up the East semifinal. And he mentions why he thinks he went on a rant about why he thinks Kahari Jones should be coach of the year. And frankly, I agree with him. And we also had former somebody you guys know well, Chris Milo, former kicker in the CFL, spent some time in Saskatchewan, Edmonton, and Ottawa as well, and a little bit of time in Montreal. He weighed in on his bitter departure with the Red Blacks and on the Rick Campbell, Marcel Desjardins situation.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's great.
And Milo's never short a word, so that'd be great.
No, for sure. And he's been on our show too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's Italian, so we get along well. We like to talk a lot in that way, yeah.
There you go. Trent Bruner chiming in from Norway, and he wants to mention Expo's 10, Andre Dawson. So more Montreal connections with the number 10. Joey, this has been great. We got to run, but appreciate the update and looking forward to more from the podcast. And enjoy the game this weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Joey Alfieri from TSN Radio in Montreal. So lots to digest
Guys like that who are, you know, so committed to the league, to the CFL, I really think the league's got to take a look at trying to bring these guys in, because that's really what makes the CFL works. And when we're talking about lower attendance and empty seats and all these things, I mean, I think that's a place to start to embrace is, you know, the digital grassroots of this.
Hockey.
Just my thoughts.
Yeah. Hockey on the other side. We're going to get to that. And we're going to talk to Les Lazarick from the Saskatoon Blades on the other side.
The man.
Shift gears a little bit into some hockey, but we know we'll get the Rider news from Saskatoon from Les Lazarick on the other side of this break. And we're also finding out that Rick Dollarwall from Vancouver is going to come on the program at the top of hour two to get right into the Devon Claybrook situation. So, Clark,
beautiful.
Great work lining up Rick on that one. So we're going to go full into Devon Claybrooks and the vacancy now at the head coaching position in BC. That and more here on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. I found my phone. So as we do this, we'll get a quick little Instagram story update as we're live on the air. This is cool. There's the Duke, Derek Myers. Tyler Dacke sitting back on the couch, our social media guru. And we got coffee from Caliber Coffee. We got breaking news in the CFL. Devon Claybrooks has been let go by the BC Lions. And now I got to post this. And we're going to get Rick Dhaliwal from TSN Radio in Vancouver on the show just after 11 o'clock. So just 11 o'clock Central Time or UCT or whatever we're on now in about 15 to 20 minutes, we're going to have him on. But for right now, we got some hockey chat. Les Lazarick from the Saskatoon Blades, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades, joins us on the video chat. Les, how are you? The beard's looking good. I don't know if you noticed that I got rid of mine.
I see that. What's up with that?
You know what? I don't know if you saw in the Twitter feed and the Instagram feed, the Halloween costume when I went as Kelly Rempel.
Yes.
You got to go back and look at it. So I had to shave for that. And then, doing TV work and doing the show, I didn't want to go through the couple of days of growing it back out, the rough days, but it's looking good. I promise, probably Christmas time, I'll grow it back out again.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll hold you to that.
All right. The beard's looking great, but first of all, I mean, I want to get your reaction because you're a big CFL guy too, to Devon Claybrooks being let go in BC. We've talked about it this morning. It happened, kind of just as we're going on the air in the rollout this morning, that he's been let go in BC. I'm a little surprised because of the way he had grown and the season turned around a little bit at the end and just with how young, that staff is and inexperienced they were, I thought they would have had a little bit more rope. But what's the first reaction when you heard the news this morning?
Not all that terribly surprised, Darren. Really, the season turned around for the BC Lions when they hired Kelly Bates 100%. As their offensive line coach. And I really think that that's when it turned around a little bit for the BC Lions. Not so much that Devon Claybrooks grew into it, although I think there's some validity to that. But really, Bates seemed to be the big deal. I mean, after all, at the beginning of the season, the Lions were getting pummeled on offense, especially Mike Riley at quarterback was just being bounced around like a rubber ball back there in the pocket. And when they made the change at offensive line coach, it was like, a breath of fresh air with Bates coming in, a former old lineman with the Lions, and everybody just seemed to pick it up and figured out what they were supposed to do. So maybe it's not so much about what Devon Claybrooks was able to do in the second half of the season, but what they were able to get as far as finally finding a way to protect Mike Riley.
Yeah, and I think they're pretty comfortable with where that position's turned to a little bit in terms of having Kelly Bates in there. The Riders clinching that first place finish since 2009, second since 76. What else can I tell you? First time 13 wins since 77. What's the feeling up in Saskatoon around this team?
Well, of course, it's obviously like it is all over the province. Everybody's really ecstatic, really happy. But there's also that little bit that says, so how exactly is Cody Fajardo and what's his health status like? Everybody realizes that he was the straw that stirred the drink, if I may be so bold as to use an old line when it came to some folks from the past. But Cody Fajardo, when he took over at quarterback, instantly became a hit, not just on the field, but off the field. And certainly his on-the-field play, with him now being potentially out of the lineup for a little bit, nobody knows for sure. The cone of silence is on, I'm sure, right now around the Rough Riders as to what the status of Cody Fajardo is, and we won't really find out until they actually come back for a practice day later on this week, and we should have a better idea at that time as to where Fajardo's at. If he can't go, boy, oh boy, the Riders are in a bit of a pickle. But if he's back and okay, then I think they're in great shape, and I think Rider Nation becomes instantly mollified and happy with what they've got potentially moving forward as far as winning a Western Final at home and going on into the Grey Cup game.
Yeah, I agree with you there. We might not even find out this week. They might give them the rest of the week off and bring them back to practice next week, too. I want to switch gears to hockey. And, I mean, you retweeted it. We talked about it earlier in the week, the ESPN NHL players poll. And I know this is going to hit you right in the heart because you're a Winnipeg guy. But for those of in our chat here or watching today or listening on the podcast who didn't see it, they polled NHL players who said Winnipeg is the one city NHL players dread. And here's the quote from a player. Winnipeg, it's always cold, tough rink to play in, it's just dirty. You walk around the city and you feel like you need to wash your face after you go outside. So nothing about it is very exciting. Eee.
It's cold in Winnipeg. What do you expect?
Newsflash!
It's also cold here right now. That's what it all boils down to. Come on. It was minus 20 here in Saskatoon this morning, and with the wind chill, it's minus 28. If you plunked an NHL team here or in Regina, guys coming in would say the same thing because it's cold. Hey, get over it, for heaven's sake. This is what you grew up with. I mean, the most idiotic routine I ever remember, and I'm going to point out who this person was, Charlie Simmer. Go back to the 70s. The Los Angeles Kings, yes. He said the best thing about Winnipeg was seeing it out the airplane window as you were leaving. This from a guy who played junior A hockey in Kenora, Ontario. Kenora, Ontario. Can you imagine that? Why would you say that? How silly are you? And for any NHLer to say that about Winnipeg is absolutely asinine. It smacks of just pure ignorance and stupidity.
Yeah.
Didn't Charlie Simmer have a front door key to the Playboy Mansion in years later, though?
Apparently.
I believe he did date a centerfold or even marry one or a couple there. So I'm not sure if the Fairmont in Winnipeg classifies as the same sort of locale in Charlie Simmer's eyes.
It doesn't.
Or the Palomino.
For a guy that was in his junior days in Kenora, Ontario, for him to say that, it's just forgetting entirely where you came from, pal.
Yeah.
Entirely forgetting where you came from. And I think the same thing goes for these people on the ESPN poll who say that sort of a thing.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. I want to bring this up before we'll switch and get to the Blades here, because you got Gordie Howe behind you, I saw on the wall, and Patrick Marleau just became the sixth player ever to suit up for 800 consecutive games, and he's now moving forward in his career back with the Sharks, and there's talk that he might play long enough to break Gordie Howe's record. Could you ever see that happening in today's NHL, that a guy like Marleau could play that long?
Two records I think that could come into play here, Darren, is that record in terms of games played by Patrick Marleau. The other one being goals scored by an NHLer, Wayne Gretzky's record, and they're talking about Alex Ovechkin possibly doing it before his NHL career is done. I thought it was a long shot for Gordie Howe's goal scoring record to ever be broken, and of course Gretzky broke it. So never say never when it comes to some NHL records and the longevity of some of these athletes. A guy like Patrick Marleau is after himself so well. And for him to be able to play this many games and at the level that he's able to play it at, it shouldn't surprise anybody. So good for him if he's able to break the games played record of Gordie Howe. And great for Alex Ovechkin if he can somehow continue to score goals at a remarkably alarming rate and end up being the guy that ends up breaking Wayne Gretzky's goal-scoring record in the NHL.
Since we shifted over to the ice here, I want to talk a little bit about the Blades, who are having a nice start to the season here, and things are lining up well. But it's sounding more and more, and almost surely now, that Kirby Dach will not be back. And while that's great for the young kid, and he's getting a shot there in Chicago, it certainly does leave a massive hole with the Blades, because, I mean, this kid is extremely skilled. Is that kind of where it's headed, and have the Blades, the players and the management and the coaches kind of settled themselves that this is where they're going to be now?
Management and coaching, Duke, had said right from the get-go at the start of this season that they were operating as if Kirby Dach was not going to be coming back this year. And I guess maybe I should have felt the same way and been of the same mind when I considered that he never even came here to start training camp with the Blades. He stayed in Chicago pretty much from the time that he was drafted, went there, went through the summertime, et cetera, et cetera. He never even came close to coming back to Saskatoon during the course of the summertime and into the early fall. So, you know, maybe we shouldn't be surprised at all. Good for him. It's a wonderful opportunity. Great. What a life for an 18-year-old to be able to be traveling around the National Hockey League and playing with the Chicago Blackhawks and earning scads of money for doing so. That, I mean, I'm jealous and I'm thankful for him to be able to do what he's able to do. And congratulations to him. We wish him all the best here. And I know a lot of fans here feel that way. But B, there is the other side in that they feel like this was the year with him in the lineup that there was supposed to be a run at winning a championship with Kirby Dach. It looks like it's not going to happen, but it means that it's going to be a little bit of a trying time, possibly getting to that lofty expectation that maybe those expectations have to be tempered a little bit here right now as to where the Blades are going to end up being in the 2019-20 season.
Yeah, but the guy who's had a good year and I've been really impressed with is the captain, Chase Waters, and he's been rewarded now. He's going to play for Canada in that Canada-Russia series, the two games. So is it the 13th and 14th of November, Saskatoon and PA? Yeah. So that's exciting for Chase.
Oh, absolutely, and he's deserved it based on, I mean, he's more this year than just the 200-foot captain guy who's the glue guy, so to speak, with the Saskatoon Blades. His ability to play well defensively in his own zone, to win faceoffs. He's over 56% faceoff wins this year. He kills penalties, but he's also been on the power play. He has 5 power play goals out of 10 goals in total. So a great start to the season for him offensively, and he'll likely, you know, knock on wood, avoiding injury, will eclipse all of his previous offensive highs for a season with the Saskatoon Blades and have a big year and be a key part of what the Blades are able to do and where they finish before this season is over and done with.
Yeah, super exciting. That's great. A little bit of business for you and I to take care of. So this weekend, I'm in Calgary. So the Saturday game, I'll be in Calgary for the Hardy Cup. You know that. Now, right. Next Saturday, the 16th, I've been booked for the Mitchell Bowl now. That happened just this morning.
Oh.
So you're going to need probably somebody unless Saskatoon wins. I imagine it's an afternoon game. So if the Huskies win, I'll be with you Saturday night and Sunday. If not, that's Saturday.
You're
you need somebody, okay?
Duty, are you?
So consider this my notice. Fine.
Wow.
Just
a public forum there.
Keep the heads up and we'll just...
Don't worry about us, folks. Us, you know, this is about DuPont and I right now on Facebook. You know, we're just over with our own little shtick here.
Fill there your you coffee go. Cup up. Hey, Bless, I want to get a thought on... I mean, you've been around junior hockey. You know this is great as anyone, this league. This Canada-Russia series, I mean, I tried to flip it on last night. They're playing against the QMJHL team. And to me... The Canada-Russia thing has lost a little bit of its luster over the years because there's no mystique. I mean, a lot of these kids are playing in the CHL right now. You know, there's just not that allure. However, it is a great exhibition of some of the best talent we have to watch from this. I remember being a kid, and this is a long-winded question, sorry, but I remember being a kid and this team from Europe, and I think it was a Russian team, and it certainly wasn't their national under 20 team or anything, came in and played a game against the Red Wings. It was some sort of exhibition. This is talking 30 years ago. But it was so neat to see because there was this allure and you didn't know them, and they did play a little different style. And I just remember that being in Weyburn, and it was such a great experience to have the chance to see that. Now, while I do appreciate that Saskatoon you know, has the facilities and has the rink, and this is a big production, I'd like to see it. I know it's in PA the one night. I'd like to see it in more of the smaller rinks. What are your thoughts on how this series is and kind of who it's targeted at and kind of the what works with it?
Well, Duke, first things first, what you said about turning it on last night, good for you. You actually turned it on. I didn't. I haven't watched any of the first two games, and that's my bad, I guess. I mean, I should be watching Rogers Sportsnet and watching my buddies RJ Broadhead and Sam Cosentino.
It's a big reason why I turned it on with those guys.
Russian team that's, yeah, exactly. And watch the Russian team that's going to be here next Wednesday at Sastel Center and then the following night at the Arthauser Center in Prince Albert. I should get familiarized with those with that team that's going to be here playing against Team WHL. But it's lost the luster for me as well. I wish there was a WHL All-Star game. There isn't. It's okay. The way it is. There's so much international hockey on the go right now that it almost kind of gets lost a little bit. You've got the World Under 17 Challenge going on right now in Swift Current and Medicine Hat. You've got the World. You've got an Under 18 Canadian Women's Championship going on right now with provincial representatives. There's so much going on of extra tournaments in addition to club play in the regular season. And it just gets lost for me in the course of it. And I'm sure if it's being lost on me, a person who does this for my living, then I'm sure it's being lost on a lot of the general public as well.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I do too, which is too bad because it's fantastic to watch. Mm-hmm. Great skill.
Oh, it's fabulous hockey. No worries about that.
Really is. All right, Les, we got to let you go. Appreciate this. Okay. It's great. And looking forward to catching up with you as soon as we can.
Yeah, well, when he's got time for you. Come on up and join me in the booth again. You know you're always welcome, but I appreciate the heads up live on Facebook on air on the Rod Peterson.
As soon as I get the update, I pass it on to you. There we go. All right. Les Lazarick, voice of the Saskatoon Blades, joining us here on the Rod Peterson Show. And we got just a couple minutes left in the first hour, which has been wild. But on that thought, you talk about the Canada-Russia series. I know it's Western Hockey League talent, and you want to keep it in those markets. But when you have events like this, like that, or you have events like summer games, or you have events, whatever they are, curling events or under 17 champions, something that might get lost in the big center because it's not the NHL, it's not the NBA, it's not the CFL, it's not the Rush, it's not a pro league. That's your opportunity to go to the markets like Weyburn, Estevan, Yorkton. Imagine taking the Western League to Yorkton.
Or Estevan.
Or to Estevan in the new rink. You'd pack it.
100%.
You know, and I think that's why even Swift Current and Medicine Hat are doing well in the under 17.
Sure.
But even that could go to those other markets. And that's why I love the World Junior A Challenge when it goes to some of the smaller centers.
I'll tell you one place that I started out my broadcasting career was in Dawson Creek, BC. And at the time, they just finished that new arena up there.
Yeah.
And they brought in, a BC, BCGHL, couple of games, and that was the start of it. Mm-hmm. And they have hosted Canada's women's national teams training camps up there. They host curling events, Grand Slam events up there, all those sorts of things. And it really, really, that community, you know, they embrace those things because it is the biggest show in town. I like seeing that. That's the small town guy in me.
Yeah, and the small towns would embrace it because it is the biggest 100%. Thing happening in that town. And unfortunately, it kind of goes under the radar.
Kind of like when we get Garth here.
Yeah. Becomes huge, right? Yeah. And it sells out. Unbelievable. All right. Recapping a busy, busy hour one in the rollout for Flooring Superstore. We found out that Devon Claybrook's let go in BC. So they have a head coaching vacancy, and we're going to go to Vancouver to kick off hour two. Rick Dollywall from TSN Radio in Vancouver will have the latest on the BC Lions and their situation. Busy, busy hour one that included Joey Alfieri with an update on the Alouettes, Les Lazarick. But in hour two, Chris Best, Ryder Great, is going to join us in studio. Randy Chevrier, the former Ryder, Stampeder, and Eskimo, is going to join us on the video chat. And, of course, that update from Vancouver. All that and more coming up on The Rod Peterson Show. And if you missed the first hour, catch the podcast at Google Play Music, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.